from our national commissioner and his delegation to our meeting. Three weeks ago, a delegation of three of our members visited Baltimore prison, in particular the health section there at Baltimore. This visit came after complaints were received from some of the medical staff at Baltimore. They raised these complaints to members of this committee. The delegation conducted an unannounced visit to Baltimore and prepared a report on their visit. And this is what is before us today. The delegation briefed me after their visit on the situation at the prison. And after listening to them, it was quite clear that the situation is serious and it needs urgent attention. I then contacted the inspecting judge of prison so that he must also conduct an investigation. But then he indicated to me that he has already conducted such an investigation a month ago and that he has submitted his report with findings and recommendations to the minister. He has also expressed serious concerns on the situation there at Baltimore. I requested the management of Baltimore to appear before the committee and explain to us what is going on at Baltimore regarding the health situation there. I have also invited the National Commissioner to brief the committee on the health status in our prison nationally. I think it's proper for us to get a clearer picture of the situation around the country. We are not only going to focus on Baltimore, but broader. I think that is our mandate, not to concentrate on one prison, but broadly what is going on around the country. I am now going to invite the delegation, the three people, Cindy Shukunga, Mr. James Self, and Mr. Mahote, to lead us on their report. I hope that all of you in possession of this report. Can I please ask Ms. Cindy Shukunga to lead us with the other three, two who have accompanied her on this visit. Ms. Shukunga.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chukunga, you are putting me in a very difficult and awkward position to have such a request. Let's have a two minute break so that we must discuss. Is it fine with you, Mr. Selko? Is it fine with you, Mr. Peter? Yes. Okay. Commission, can you your communication, please? Go outside and then. Because I'm not going to put on the mic. Let's start him.
I'm not sure that I've not been actually in that situation. So I'm not going to say that. My wife is dead, making me present the system, giving control, the responsibility, the vaccines, and the vaccines. I'm not very sure as to what exactly the consequences of this. My question to you is that I don't know if that way is going to be.
I'm not very much impressed with what you are doing. You know, we sit at a study group for 2 weeks discussing the very same thing. I sit with Comrade Mahawane. Both me and Comrade tried in vain to contact you, to get hold of you. I sit with Comrade Mama last week, you know, 3 weeks, and I discussed it in the study group with the members that, you know, we must table this report. We must table it in the comments. Comrade Mama has tried it. I must say it here. Comrade Mama has tried it level best to amend. Can we please have quietness? Please convey. Comrade Mahawane has tried his level best. I have reported to the study group that things that must be filled in. Comrade Mahawane has deleted a lot of things in this, and I agreed with him. We discussed the report with him, as the study group has mandated me and Comrade Mahawane, with Comrade Dean, to say that this will be the approach of us. Now, the report is here in front of us. The department is here to come and respond. We have agreed that we called the leadership of COSMO and the national office to come and respond to some of the issues that is there in this report. That is, we are going to say the things as it stands here, because Comrade Mahote, and myself took out some controversial things in this report, and we cleaned it, and we said this can now be briefed. We can brief this, but you see, the draft report that was before us had a lot of controversial things in it, and I sit with Comrade Mahote. Comrade Mahote himself took all those other things out. But there was also things that you, Cindy, were supposed to fill in that draft report, like the medical staff issue that they, Comrade Mahote and James himself, was not able to fill in that thing. Thank you very much. In that thing. But the report as it is, I don't think personally it is that any threat of presenting this report. I don't know what Comrade Mahote is saying.
Yeah, I think yes, it's true that and some of them were highlighted myself. And about the medical stuff and things, I gave him sensitivity. And there were names of people that were present that I do not know capacity yet that they are filled in. You see, my problem, my only problem is the ownership of this thing by the study group. The ownership of the report by
ownership of what
of the report itself,
yeah.
By the study group, all of that.
Yes.
Because I had an impression that after this amendment, we will sit down and go through the report and then present it. Because I understand that in fact, on the very same way that we were informed, that was running to the media on this issue. And I don't have a problem with him if agreeing with some of the amendments that are made here.
Because he has not seen it. Let me be also very clear to Congress. He has never seen the amendment. It's for the first time that we are distributing this amendment inside this meeting. So he is under the impression that draft is still there. Your amendment that you have put is for the first time that I said to Imogen that she mustn't distribute this thing. Only the minister and the commission were given copies of this one.
I don't know why.
No, come you know your alright.
Yeah,
thanks.
I don't know whether it will be fine for Comrade Mahote to start the thinking at whether the study, because it's not our book, the thinking that they
do. Yeah, if we are taking that book, I don't see any problem at all. Whatever is there, what is you will be because there's nothing.
That's all. Yes. No,
only the background.
Yeah. I think let's continue with the as it comes from the He must call these people in.
Yeah.
Who is going to leave? Who is going to leave?
My wife is going to leave.
You know what? Let him leave. And then my water and self will feel free.
Okay. Excuse me? She told me yes, I should also let go of finding a room. Yeah.
Thank you very much to the IFC and the GA and ACGP for allowing us that the study group focus on our approach to this briefing document. We have sorted it out and we are ready now. I'm going to ask Cindy Chukunga to lead us on the document. Cindy Chukunga.
My apologies to all the members and officials for that they have continued. I think we only need the document and start with us, like this. From what is happening, just in the order, it could be proper for me just to go to page 2, which is with regard to the observation. But maybe before I say that, I must express my appreciation of the fact that in Cosmo and all other cultural services institutions, there are health services that are being rendered on the staff that is qualifying according to laws that are controlling our country, and therefore there will be a doctor, there will be a qualified nurse, there will be a special worker in our country, and therefore we need, I think, it's important for us to know. And it's also important to mention that when we go through the facilities themselves, we will be able to see that we do the health facilities because of the equipment and everything that we do. Nevertheless, there are some challenges which we think we have to highlight today. And when we do that, it could not necessarily mean that we are saying there aren't questions that are there. But for the sake of discussion, I think it is important to highlight some of the shortcomings that something is doing to us. The community management system, first of all, we want to talk about the staffing of the staffing. Because any department will truly have to have a staff that is responsible. It was very apparent, and it, I think it is very apparent that in Cosmo in particular, but probably in other correctional services institutions, we have a true shortage of staff personnel. By so doing, I mean nurses, doctors, and nurses. Also, meaning all the categories of individuals, including our auxiliaries, staff nurses, or professional nurses, with a shortage of which, and the Cosmo is also one of the institutions that is affected in that sense. Good institutions like this, we have quite a range of patients. What we saw is that they are taking care of mentally ill patients, of sarcastic patients, as well as physically ill patients. many facilities we manage in one ward or group of ones. But I think on the financial situation of each people, as I said, to take particularly of the psychiatric situation, it was reported that the agent of the psychiatric situation is looking after those patients, even if the report is to be received. The FLU determines as to whether a patient is fit to stand the trial or not. And we got a report that the head of the section sometimes is called upon by court to account for the if she is not directly involved in the care of the patient. And for me, that's a short term, because we have expected that the system is accountable. If a person who comes in direct contact with the patient and therefore obtains the patient on a daily basis and therefore can receive the patient from all a particular instance. I would want to first also talk about in depth, talk about that is the issue of shortage, but I also want to say something a little bit about the process that is going to come to us. I think people from the knowledge, they know what to do. But I think they can just on ethical and professional on things that really will do even if you are the only one in a ward or in a department or in a system. I think there are basic things that we cannot just be immersed in not to do. Basic things that you don't need to attend to the physical. The post that they appear there should be issued the certification. I would like to say something about for me the equipment regarding the equipment before going to the drug that they appear there. I would want to talk about the environment. In any hospital or any type of a healing environment, a conducive environment is important. Without medicine, without medicine, if the environment is conducive to healing, it can actually make it easier to heal. I think over and above the hospital, that is a prison. All the everyday things, all the diarrhea and so on. I think that could be that for a hospital. And also to say that just a glass on a cold reason to show that you have to contribute to healing instead of saying it's called some rush to other conditions or other causes of the best patient thing. And then coming to that, this is the question of the cancer. I think it's just like that it makes for this issue. But the speech is not there because the speech is conditioned that controls the storage of cancer in the control. Then even before I speak about this Schedule 5, 6, and 7, but according to the Medical Services and Registered Services Act, should be kept under lock and key as to Christ and the law itself. I would just like to put it in the term of Christ. I should seem to think that a lot correction even in the staff that is because if you open the refrigerator and you find that there is a better in the refrigerator and went. That the basic economy is the living for data in the refrigerator and not what we are doing. It's a basic requirement to get drugs that are in cleanup, the relationship between drugs that are in contamination. Drugs that are used for eyes, for the nose, and so on, unless they contain the same flavor of the same or the drugs that are in the same pharmacy. It's very basic, and I think we don't need chemists because we want the fact that we will do that in one thing. And that is why we have to do it. I think these are very basic things which any Muslim knows and every Muslim knows. And I think this is something that people are trying to do in the future to work it over the day. The important part to question is that if you set under the there is a rest of it. And if you see that the but what becomes a problem is the how often and the understanding of the seriousness of the issue is not meet the requirements of the and the casualty that they are entered into that register. Because we're talking about a heavy phone, you could be having an adjective in the number of things that you need an adjective because there wasn't anything that could have been done, but it's possible that it's why it's been controlled. We found in this entry that had expired in 2004 and they were still there to record it. But we also found that I think it was like a 35 inch was not the same. I don't think that it's really adequately used like a 35 inch even to less than the next season. But to the drug that has been decided at least and to come back and to check every agreement and every month. The entries in the budget is special in that it says that you have prescribed the drug, the strength of the drug is 10 milligrams, but it's possible that the doctor would say 5 milligrams. And as far as one is concerned, if you therefore record 5 milligrams, the other 5 milligrams must be recorded as wasted. It must appear that indeed it was wasted. And you must have wasted it in the presence of the second, so that is why we have a witness only of the scientific research. But the recording, they say one edge. And it can't be an edge. Because the doctor prescribed 10 milligrams, but sometimes they have prescribed something less than 10 milligrams. On any other, it could have been any stress, but it could be a lesser stress. It is 25 milligrams, the doctor said it has prescribed 12.5 milligrams. And therefore you just wait the other one, and that must appear on the record that you did not subject yourself with the other wasted drug. That is according to you. And somebody must try to know, if you give this drug, you don't give them alone, you give them in the second person. Witness to you, that indeed I'm giving to this patient to prescribe that because I'm not giving him water and I'm suggesting myself. I'm just I'm going to say that it's there but not evident in the and then you have to check the trust every day in the morning or whenever you are exchanging your name. But if the task is food industry. One thing we have also is the trust industry. That's why it is a major problem. But the tip of the tip was the same. The tip of the tip was the same. I think what is missing is that anything is useful for the policy. That says the tip much. And also in policy that says not just are about to decide to be done with. For instance, that you don't have to wait until drugs expire before you take the best decision that is wherever you need to go. But drugs that are to expire and are not frequently, maybe before, a 2 months earlier, they should be taken so that they can re-sign to another institution or even to the department. Then we don't have a wastage of drugs as it appears to be. Coming to if the situation in hospital is not like it's that something. I think it's just that something happens. But on the first of all, I think you as this is that to say at least that if you are able to do it for it. It must be apparent and very clear that you are managing, you manage to do this because you are true. You could not do this because you don't have the best capacity. But that which you are doing, you do it for it. And it's very important. It's just a situation in the area that we do, or area that we do, I think we can do that. And then that means somebody to be able to take the thing. The equipment is there, the medicine is right, it's there. You know, most of the things are there. The management is fine. And I should think that I'm not very sure if it is possible, but it could be there. It's just bringing the plan of professionality, of ethical practice, and so on, and so on.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chikunga, Mr. Sell, and then Mr. Mahoti.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Ms. Chikunga has very adequately covered many of the problems that we encountered in this visit. But I think I would just like to add a couple of dimensions. The first is that I think everybody accepts that, you know, the people in Baltimore or any other facility for that matter ought not to be able to lay claim to any better health delivery service than is available to the average person in South Africa. But that there are requirements that are laid down both in the Constitution and more specifically in the Correctional Services Act itself, which I think need to be adhered to because there is a statutory requirement on us to ensure that those take place. And I think that if you look at what the Correctional Services Act has done, I think in many material respects, it was clear that those health services were not always being given. I think it's also so that in any correctional centre, particularly one like Baltimore, which is really heavily overpopulated, there are always opportunities for the spread of communicable disease, and therefore specific actions are appropriate to try and limit the effect of that. What I think concerned me, furthermore, was the fact that notwithstanding the fact that funds are available for the employment of additional staff, because the staff were not available, there is a huge difference between the number of funded posts and those that are actually filled. And we did hear about the reasons for that, the difficulty that people had in recruiting and retaining suitably professional or suitably qualified professionals. But even the situation where the posts were filled, many of the people were either on leave or on suspension or on stress leave or whatever the case might be. So particularly when we got the admission centre, which, you know, deals with 4,000 odd inmates, and we found the hospital section there in the command or under the control of an assistant nurse. I think it really gives one some sort of idea of the scale of the challenge that the department faces there. I think Cindy dealt in great detail with the shortcomings relating to the drugs and equipment. I'll just add one further observation on that. I think we both saw, Cindy, the fact that there was a syringe needle stuck into a particular drug bottle, and this left that
so as to allow microorganisms to go in to contaminate the drug, quite apart from the difficulties around the control of the needle itself. And then, Chair, I'd like to associate myself with her comments around the management. I'm sure that management has taken note of what ourselves and the inspecting judge have found, but it wasn't clear to me that the sort of rudimentary medical management tests were in place, which would have allowed, as Chikunga said, those people who are in fact there to operate within an optimal level of service. And then finally, I'm very concerned about the fact that so many people referred to psychiatric observation land up in a hospital section that is incapable or not in a position to provide that psychiatric observation. And I really think that this is a matter that needs to be taken up with the provincial administration, with the Department of Justice, because I'm not sure.
That
this is something that I think needs to be taken up, because there's no point the court referring people to a full psychiatric observation if that psychiatric observation cannot take place. But I associate myself with all the other comments made by Mr. Chikunga. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Self, Mr. Mawate.
With the topic here and there, there are things that correctional service department cannot say no when things are done like what we need to have done. That yes, we need to see how does the department with assistance of the Department of Justice. How is this going to be affected on that issue? But I think that that's an excess everything that they have to do.
No, let me really thank the three of you. Cindy Chikunga, Mr. Self, and Mr. Mahode for this report. I think that this report is an excellent report. It is really showing that you went there really to go and do your work. You know, the management of Portsmouth, I nearly said Pop Group. The management of Portsmouth is here to really come and explain to us what is really happening there. And after that, the National Commission with the team, the National Commissioner will also address some of the issues. I am very much sure that the National Commissioner and the National Office is also very much concerned about the report and the things that were presented here today, this morning, of the delegation. So the National Commissioner will also come up. There's also a document that was distributed to all the members about the very same topic and what they, from national office, are planning to do with this situation at Portsmouth, because it really needs urgent intervention and attention. But let me hand over now to the national, to the Paul Small, but first the national commissioner, because he is the boss, and then he will instruct his people to follow on there. But over to you, Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members of the Victoria Committee. It seems that we don't have time to do the normal introduction, but I do have, before I proceed, just to introduce some of the members of the panel, particularly as it pertains to this discussion on health enforcement and nationalism. Our newly appointed Regional Commissioner for the Western Cape, I think she's meeting in different capacities, the cabinet last year, approved the appointment of Mr. Smallberg behind him. I'm sure the committee would join me in congratulating him and wishing him well as he leads the decision. We also have a redeployed senior manager from Victoria, who took over the reins at Portsmouth in response to a number of management challenges that they have identified at Portsmouth previously. He's been here the last time, he's been developing the new, not the new, actually, area commissioner, sitting at the back, but he was also with the regional assistant. And then for the health presentation, we have the director of health services, which is Dennis. For the other presentation of our talking, we have the civilian, who is the chief executive responsible for finance, and our talking is part of that branch. But Mr. Ndubo is here as the deputy commissioner responsible for that function. I'm delaying this mistake because he's delegated pressure, so we'll be here for some function.
You like the commission, you like the commission. You're welcome to check in.
No. As you know, there's the signing of the agreement with the training of the special research manager responsible for that component. But Charles will come here because he's also the acting chief executive of the corporate services. And since the issue that we are talking about relates to personnel, we've solved the basis before him, even in an acting capacity, to answer some of the questions. Thank you. And then, of course, you know Mr. Bolela, if I get to see him in communication, and in my office, Mr. Stable, but I know I don't think he's any introduction from the office of the ministry. Jefferson, thank you very much. I think
Let me really, on behalf of the committee, congratulate Mr. Smallberg on his appointment. I was informed yesterday by the minister's office that you are, and the commissioner also informed me that the cabinet has approved your appointment. I know that you are a capable man, and you have acted for a very long time. So I wish you, on behalf of the committee, everything of the best. Let's work together to correct all things. But in our midst as well, I see the attendance register that the South African Human Rights Commission is also here in our committee. You are very much welcome, because this is also your terrain that we are discussing here today. The Office of the Inspecting Judge is also presented here today to come and listen. We will call you, man. We will call the Inspecting Judge to our committee also to come and discuss the very same thing. Commissioner, over to you.
Thank you, sir. As I've indicated, also apologies from our minister with the delegation signing the agreement with the Sutu and our Deputy Minister who is on the UK. Really, from the outset, this is to welcome the visit of the Victoria Committee delegation to Portsmouth. and for having taken the time to put the report together of this quality. I think we really value that. It shows that there is a role for different stakeholders, and in terms of the oversight responsibilities, it will be a good thing for us to seriously consider and take forward the recommendations and the findings of the committee. When I heard that you intended calling the management of Portsmouth to explain, I was quite keen for us to be both for myself as the accountant officer and the national managers responsible for how quickly we can help, that it will be opportune for us to reflect on the challenges of how broadly was incorrect or taken, inasmuch as Portsmouth being on your doorstep may have to deal with certain specific challenges. And therefore, it's really an attempt for us to say, let us collectively, you from your perspective as oversight body and us from as the department, let us look at what these challenges are and how we should move forward. So I really welcome this. Of course, it is quite unfortunate and embarrassing when these things are brought to focus in the way it does, but we'll have to live with that. The context of the crisis that we are facing at Portsmouth, I'm saying, is generally what we're experiencing as a country, and the facts are quite well known in terms of the outflow of medical personnel, but also the fact that as the correctional services department, you would be quite aware that we have to compete with other state departments, and the circumstances under which our officials are working, our practitioners in particular are working, are not such that they attract them automatically to be private. So we're quite aware of the challenge. Jefferson, from the outset, also to acknowledge, without trying to justify, I think our responsibility is to find practical solutions for these challenges that you're pointing out. But I think in part, we want to acknowledge that we had some natural retention provisions in correctional services. The fact that we as a department had a weekday and a weekend establishment meant that many professionals were attracted to DCS to access the overtime. When we phased out overtime for working on Saturdays, of course, that retention disappeared. And so the challenges have become a bit more acute. Our response to that, I must say, has been to create and finance additional professional posts. And you will see when you look at our establishment that it's an actual establishment growth. And the numbers of our personnel maximally has increased, although fairly conservatively. But if you look at the number of posts that we have financed and created, you will see it's not given us the desired response. It's not worked as we anticipated, even though we try to come up with a headhunting framework to short-circuit some of the other attempts to attack staff to us. And quite clearly, I have to acknowledge that it's not always that the same approaches will work. When you deal with a crisis like that, you have to change your approaches. And we have been, since the beginning of this year, we have been reflecting very seriously about how do we change our approach to dealing with this crisis. And we would like to share with you some of the things that we've already done, some work that's been quite far advanced. In doing so as a Department of Correctional Services, we must also acknowledge that we cannot compete with others. As Mr. Schultz was saying, there is a challenge broadly. Ordinary citizens have a right to access primary health care and medical services in the same way. And it will be incorrect for us to introduce mechanisms that would attract people to DCS and for them to move away from the public health sector and the other sectors. So it's a very difficult one, balance that we have to maintain. But indeed, I think that's also part of the answer to your question. I think I'm really encouraged by the approach of the delegation to say it doesn't matter how many people you have. Those people that you have must be able to perform in a way that's professional and satisfactory. I think that is the critical challenge. We've been before this committee and we've spoken about the difficulties that we have as a correctional services department of people of the poor culture of compliance. Why is that so? why do we have non-compliance? Really, the policy is quite clear, and we have people who are professionally trained. That's because of the poor tradition of holding people to account. The problems around not having enough supervisors and junior managers. And part of our strategy is indeed to strengthen junior managers and supervisory staff. And I think if we create more opportunities for such people, we will only also increase the numbers, albeit on a higher level. I think that's been part of our problem. We have said to you before, for this year we have made compliance, the walk line with EBCS. In fact, part of our approach towards doing so is to appoint more supervisors and junior management, but also to ensure that we train people on policies and procedures to help build this culture of compliance. I think it would also be incorrect for us to perceive that as we have this dialogue, we have to acknowledge the context. I've spoken about the challenges that we face within the health services mechanism. Within DCS, we have to acknowledge that, as reported in the media, that it's ironic that some of the managers themselves who have reported some of these incidences have allowed the situation to continue. While I see the crisis reported, it's very difficult. I don't want to comment too much on that. Other than to say that there are processes in place around the retention of some of the staff. We're very concerned about the fact that some of the expired medicine found its way back onto ourselves after one of these managers who are now suspended certified that these things have been removed. So we're quite angry that has happened. And we feel that we cannot tolerate such undermining behavior. The other manager for health is also being suspended for something not completely related to issues of health. And I think these things, unfortunately, can easily cloud our discussions, and I would very urge that we allow those processes to continue. The linkages may be there in one case, but in the other case, the effect of that testing suspension on the health services is unfortunate, but it's something that we have to deal with. The approach that we thought we would follow, Jefferson, is within the context of this broader discussion to zoom in on the specific issues that I'm holding. I think I've asked the director health to lead the presentation, and with your concurrence, I will ask you to do so. And at the appropriate moment, I will ask the Western Cape team that after your visit, and after the report of the inspecting judge, immediately try to introduce some measures to improve the situation at Portsmouth so that they can come in at that point. And then we will conclude and share some of the broader strategies with you. So if you agree with that, I'll ask Ms. Mabena to lead us with the presentation. Thank you, sir. Over to you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Member.
Sorry, Mrs. Martin, let me just explain to the member. You will get the chance to ask questions after Ms. Martin addressed it, because this briefing includes the situation as policy. You will see when she is. And then please note all your questions after Ms. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The purpose of this presentation is to share with the committee healthcare delivery and management information services and some of the challenges that the department is faced with. And the challenges are not new to the department, they've been there for quite some time, over the decades, and the department is we try to address these challenges, but sometimes it's beyond the department's control, as the Commissioner has said. According to international norms and principles, offenders must have access to the same quality and range of health care services as the general public from the National Health Service, and not more or less. And a person's capacity to access healthcare services shouldn't be compromised by reasons of incarceration where he's in a happened, or hey, human rights are being violated. The challenges we are facing in the country are also acknowledged by the Minister of Health and the DDG of Health in the National Human Resource Plan for Health. The Minister said, however, an overall shortage of health settlement, as well as inequitable distribution between urban and rural areas and between public and private sector remains a challenge. South Africa identifies with the global health community concerns regarding crises with regard to human health resources for health. And Dr. Mashashi also said, in this context, development of the country's human resource plan was prioritized to address numerous efforts, especially to address some of the challenges that health systems are addressing. Among these being the high rate of attrition of personnel to private health sector, as well as migration of health professionals to wealthier countries. Some of the retired and skilled experienced professionals usually seek careers and therefore insufficient human resources in the country. As I already mentioned, we are struggling to keep and retain professional nurses, medical practitioners, psychologists, and pharmacists. And I think in the future we'll also be struggling with the ICT and future requirements in healthcare delivery. We would like to acknowledge the findings that have been presented by the three members who presented before me, and we really appreciate that because we may have missed some of the areas in our audit, but I want to thank the committee that we do conduct audits, but currently we are concentrating on the Center of Excellence to build capacity, especially with regard to the implementation of the work paper. And the commissioner has already mentioned that some of the initiatives that the department is taking are not bearing any progress or are bearing minimal. I'm going to share with you shortly the findings at Postmo. They are almost similar to what the Honourable Member has presented. In terms of facilities, correctional facilities were built many years ago, and the health issue was not part of the old treatment system. So currently the department and management areas find areas where health care delivery can be rendered, where the facilities cannot be upgraded. There are clinics in most of the correctional facilities, there are consulting rooms, and in one of the correctional centers it was identified that there was no we can call it a dispensary. In correctional community, we call it a dispensary where medicines are being dispensed. And there's also inadequate facilities to manage mental health care users. In addition to one of the members who said the courts are referring offenders to correctional services. Correctional offenders, observation cases are supposed to be referred to Falkenberg Hospital for observation. But when Falkenberg is full, the major strength to refer the offenders to correctional services for observation. And prison departments do not have capacity to conduct observations because the court must also appoint two independent psychiatrists who conduct the observations, and in correctional facilities it's not always possible. And there's also been set isolation facilities for commissioning. We will take into account the overcrowded facilities that we have because we need separate isolation areas where there's cross ventilation between the cells, there must be natural sunlight, there must be negative suction, especially for TB, MDR, and XDR. And in terms of equipment, it was found that most of the equipment were outdated. There was also lack of delivery tech for emergency cases. And in terms of pharmaceutical services, the member, Kukunga, has already alluded to that. And also there was unavailability of treatment protocols. And protocols by law or by health policies must be developed by medical practitioners who visit the correctional facilities. Because the doctor must indicate that in terms of asthma, in my absence, this is how nurses should treat asthma and with the following medication. But unfortunately, the doctor that we have, I'm not doing that, but that we take up to the Department of Health. And in terms of services and programs, it was found that there were no records in terms of communicable diseases, especially TB, and increased management of health conditions, integrated management of childhood illnesses, poor implementation of innovations for these children, lack of record keeping. The purity better program, the findings were that the community was prioritized over programs, and indeed there must be a balance between the two. Offender health was compromised, and there was an increase in the workload rather than that they were available. And in terms of human resources, there's an unpaid health professional, and this is really hampering on most of the issues that the members have been treated. For example, if I can use William A as an example. A nursing assistant, in terms of his scope of practice, cannot handle 75 medications, cannot handle medication for 3 to 4 medications. But if you do not have professional nurses, it's really a challenge for the department. Some of the professionals are functioning beyond the scope of practice, especially the nursing assistants. They were overstressed, there were lack of employee wellness programs, the limited supervisory capacity, and there was also at times misuse of health professionals to perform escorts, and there were no regular meetings to address issues, especially quality improvement programs, and infection control issues, especially meeting activity in campus. And most of these challenges, apart from the issues of limited supervisory, I agree with Mr. Nurses, and I also discussed with them that as nurses we have an advocacy role. And where resources are limited, you have to come up or identify other initiatives on how are you going to improve the quality of care that you are relevant to the offenders, like without waiting for someone external to come and tell you what you are expected to do. And in the next slide, the Commission has already highlighted that some of the initiatives that we are implementing do not bear much fruit. I'll pause for now and ask the regional management just to share with the committee on some of the levers that we've identified in order to improve that.
Commissioner Mulberger, is it not working?
Good thing, thank you, Chair. Chair, good morning, and let me acknowledge and appreciate your kind words, and we in the working group are really committed to incorporate with this special committee of Parliament. Chair, I will just give a very brief overview on the interventions of the region after the visit of the three members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair, the visit was unannounced on 30 May, and as we value the visit of the Portfolio Committee very high, we immediately arranged that myself and the leadership in the regional office joined the team while they were busy with the visit. Just to also experience firsthand so that we can appropriately take action to rectify whatever discounts there is that is on the point of policy. Chair, I need to emphasize that in terms of the action plan, it was focusing on the observations hearing delivered by the three members of the portfolio committee as well as relevant inspections by other role players. The focus of the meeting, which took place on the 3rd of May, the next morning after the visit, was attended by the region leadership as well as the leadership of our Portsmouth. And we developed a plan to address the shortcomings. Then the focus area was basically on three broad issues, and that's implementation of legislation, the availability of resources, and then adherence to policy and procedures. My comm-
compliance, compliance, compliance. In terms of the establishment that falls in work, the honorable member already referred to the shortage of staff there. Just to say that also in the report there are 76 positions of professional nurses, and currently there are 14 posts, which has increased by 2 because there were 2 appointments as on the 3rd and 4th of June. Chair, I'm not going to go into detail. I think to see that the committee needs that we can elaborate more. The challenges as was presented by Ms. Mabena, but also particular at Portswood, basically just to mention and refresh basically 4 aspects is the exodus of nurses worth accepting other appointments, the current working environment at Portswood, and also the strength on the current staff complement due to the large number of admissions on the and then also she referred to the retention strategy of the department, and by the commission also referred to that we will, the presenters will give more information concerning the plans for the future. Chairperson, in terms of the action plan, we are really in agreement with what the Honourable Ms. Chungunga was saying, that you know, it's not whether you are doing at Portsmouth, but what are you doing with the available staff? And our focus was also to make sure that those few members there at Portsmouth in terms of nurses need to deliver service to the best of their ability. And we really appreciate also the report that we have listened to now presented to this committee. And from the office, I can also mention that we will also take this report back to see whether there are still areas that need to be covered so that we can align and amend the action plan. Because of time, I will briefly focus on the focus area and then give very brief progress. In terms of the service level agreement with the Department of Health, I think it's important to note that we do have such an agreement with the Department of Health. And then, as part of that, we do have also several medical practitioners who are visiting Portsmouth. And not to go into the detail and the date of the visit, but safe to say that on every given working day, there are at least 2 medical practitioners who are visiting Portsmouth. As part of the service level agreement is also the fact that we are having this challenge of the shortage of nursing staff. We have also an agreement with Victoria Hospital, who is assisting Portsmouth with after hour referral, and there's also a specific agreement on a shorter way to handle this referral. Also mentioned that in terms of the females, we do have also an agreement with the Westlake Clinic to assist with pregnant women as well as those who have babies. Chairperson, in terms of the medication and the protocol for the distribution of scheduled medicine, we are really also very concerned about this matter. I can also confirm to the portfolio committee that the visit took place on the Wednesday. On the Thursday, after the meeting that I referred to, instruction was issued that all medicines should be and must be removed to expire and also due to expire towards the end of June. Epo Center submitted a certification that indeed those medicines were removed. There was also senior officials assigned to do a follow-up to make sure that there are no expired medicines. The commissioner already referred to action against one of the managers, which I'm not going to mention anything further from that specific individual. Jefferson also to say that there's also an action plan developed by the staff at Portsmouth really to manage the issuing of medicine, and there's also a monitoring evaluation plan linked to the post of area coordinated development and care so that they can really ensure that there's continuous compliance. Also in terms of
the utilization of healthcare. I can also confirm that the regional task team was compiled, which consists of between 6 and 11 senior medical staff in the region. Why I'm saying between 6 and 11 because there must be at least 6 consecutive working days, and the others are also rendering services. Other management areas, but sometimes all of them are there, but constantly there are a team of at least 6 on the task team. Chairperson, as part of also strengthening the situation of the nurses, there's already 2 identified nurses who temporarily transferred to Portsmouth to assist. I already mentioned to the 2 new appointments in terms of the strengthening of the nurse component. I can also mention that the headhunting process is continuing. We're also developing the region a shortened process to make sure that as and when they identify people in the headhunting process, that we appoint them as a matter of urgency. Furthermore, I can also again mention that the committee is aware that on the 27th of May, 20 nursing positions of course were advertised in the national media, and the closing date was last week, and the process to interview will start as soon as we receive the application forms from the agency. It's not going to take a long time, because we already put measures in place that will be delivered in the next day to the regional office. Different this task team is also, I'm not going to bore you, but we do have statistics on a daily basis. How many offenders are they seeing? What are they doing exactly there? So we are really monitoring and make sure that we are not letting the country down after this visit. In terms of the equipment as well as the bedding, it was also referred to by the 3 members of the group Baltimore. One can really also confirm that there was also a need analysis to identify the need. We do have information of what has already been delivered, starting from, you know, the project language matter, which was mentioned by the portfolio committee members, the linen, the pajamas, gowns, everything that is supposed to be there is already ordered, and also in a lot of them already delivered, and furthermore, that the others will be delivered shortly. Typically, the environment was also mentioned during the visit of the portfolio committee. We also have in our meeting emphasized the leadership of the importance of making special efforts to ensure a conducive environment for the nurses. That is already also in progress. I can also mention that we had also a visit last week from a national office delegation, where they also addressed the nurses as also to empower and also to have an oversight to ensure that what we have put in place, that there's a real progress. It was also mentioned, Chairperson, that there's a couple of nurses on sick leave. That is also a specific focus area of the action plan. One nurse already returned after the intervention of the area commissioner and as well as the supporting team. In terms of the maintenance, which was also mentioned, of the facility, again here we are saying whether the facilities are appropriate or not. So we need to have facilities under the circumstances that is compliant with the prescriptive law. I can mention that the process to paint the hospital at the admission center, medium as well as the steamer, is in process. The committee did not visit medium B and medium C, but those 2 were painted last year. But Chair, I just mention a few things to ensure that, you know, to give, also to provide feedback to the committee that, you know, after the visit, we've taken really serious and good measures in place. To ensure compliance, the regional inspectorate will also do a follow-up visit as an additional to ensure compliance, and they will have a specific assignment to ensure that all focus area is being attended to, and we will also make sure that if there's not compliance, that there should be consequences.
separate meetings of the monitoring evaluation of this plan. I'm receiving on a daily basis reports on from progress reports from this task team. We also intend to let the task team continue at Baltimore up until appropriate staff that can take up the challenge and make sure that we maintain the basic standards. Jefferson, I can also mention that the first report from the Air Commissioner was due on the 30th of June, which I received, and the next report is also due on in a month's time, and I can assure the committee that the Air Commissioner and his team is also very positive to make sure that we are implementing and make sure that we are rendering the service that the country will be proud of. Jefferson, just lastly, we note also in the report that the portfolio committee is going to have a follow-up visit or visit to Portsmouth. On behalf of the leadership, I can really request the portfolio committee that they are more than welcome to come. We will appreciate that, so that the portfolio committee can for themselves see that, you know, actions speaking louder than words. So this is just to brief the committee, but the challenge will be for the committee to come and see for themselves of the progress that is implemented at Portsmouth. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm not going to continue the national overview on healthcare services in the US. The purpose of healthcare services in the department is twofold: to promote the health of the offender, identify those with health problems, address their health needs, provide treatment where possible, or refer to other specialist services that are possible. And health services in the department should also continue any health care that has been established in the community to contribute to a seamless service and facilitating aftercare on the need. And the majority of health services in correctional facilities are primary nature. Secondary and tertiary levels of care access externally, either from the Department of Health or private health facilities, depending on non-availability in health. Healthcare services in this area face with a number of challenges which are mentioned in the demonstration slide. And these are some of the legal mandates that govern healthcare delivery in correctional facilities for the constitution, as well as minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners, both the white paper on correctional services, on corrections in South Africa, and the white paper on correctional services. The Correctional Services Act, the Nursing Act, the Health Act, the Mental Health Act, Policy Act, Medicine and Medical Substances Act, and other articles in the legislation which I didn't mention here. There are more than 50. And healthcare services in programs from GPS are preventive and promotive care, curative services, rehabilitative services, and referral services that are coordinated. The challenges that the department is facing in terms of legislation. Firstly, new legislation impacts on healthcare delivery in the department. For example, the Pharmacy Act requires that before a person can dispense medicine, he or she must have a dispensing license from Schedule 1 up to Schedule 2. And the Medicine and Medical Substances Control Act. Previously, our medicines used to be ordered and received by our supply chain logistics section. But in terms of this act, no person is allowed to handle medication except for any person registered with the Pharmacy Act. Pharmacists and pharmacy assistants and post-basis, not the ones who have done post-basis. So this definitely has an impact on the management of medicine in the department. The next and
Commission, maybe if Ms. Mandela can touch on the hearing, you know, not go through all the details.
also to interact, because I'm sure that members also want to raise questions, because I see that we are still very far from the end of your meeting. So if you can, I'm not going to stop you, but if you can maybe touch on
thank you,
Professor.
As proper climate system methods and sources, the climate for accreditation of DCS as an ARB site, and level of policy, roles and responsibilities of the National Department of Health and provincial people that correctional health issues. Because the white paper on health services in the country saying the provinces are responsible for the health services of the Catholic people. The next challenge is the next one is target population overcrowding and the increase in the use of vendors and the department's lack of specialty in dealing with those issues. And in terms of services and programs, the inadequate management of all diseases due to lack of resources. And the biggest challenge is the increase in the burden of disease, which are becoming more difficult to treat, TB, HIV, AIDS, and so on. And in terms of health resources, I won't tell you that because we've already discussed that there's a high turnover of medical health professionals. And in terms of the slide that has been presented, I just want to go to slide number 23. In terms of appointment versus termination, if you look at 2005, we appointed 33 nurses and we lost 18 nurses. And in 2006, we appointed 28, 93 nurses. In 2007, only for the first 3 months, we lost 8. And also in terms of pharmacists and psychiatrists, we employed 5 in 2005 and 27 resigned. And in 2006, we employed 40, 21 resigned. And in 2007, we appointed 2 and 6 resigned. And in terms of the accounting process that the commissioner said, those are the numbers of how many people we tried to enhance from the 1st of April up to today. In terms of nurses, we tried to appoint 85, but some provinces haven't been able to recruit any nurses. And slide 25 deals with counter offer that we give. Professional nurses is given 3, and pharmacists only 2 and 1. And slide 26 is the number of calls that the department has advertised. Remember to go through that. And slide 27 is the current establishment. We have 1036 finance calls. Currently, only 694 are filled and 342 are vacant in terms of professional nurses. And in terms of the doctors, we only have 5 filled. Psychologists, we have 90 finance, only 38 filled, taking up filled by community service. Pharmacists, we have 40 calls. 26 filled, 22 are community service pharmacists, and only 4 are community pharmacists. And we also have challenges in terms of facilities that we can enforce more. And the last challenge is in terms of information management in the department. This is not aligned to the requirements of the National Health Information System. And some of the measures that the department has identified and implemented in terms of addressing these challenges. In terms of legislation, we are continuously interacting with the Department of Health and the critical bodies to assist in capacity building, to implement legislation. And in terms of overcrowding, there's a justice cluster that's dealing with that. This is our overcrowding that we can start the same. And in terms of services and programs, where capacity exists, we do render these programs. Where capacity doesn't exist, we refer to the Department of Health or to private health providers. And the department has also amended the performance assessment of health professionals. We assess by colleagues in their own profession. and the salary of medical practitioners is being upgraded from salary level 12 to salary level 11 to 12. And the department is also exploring the new introduction of national assistance and enrollment. They have course have been finalized and they'll be approved in consultation with the CSA. And the next one is to approve, I mean to appoint pharmacists at salary level 8 and salary levels of entry levels of psychologists will be now at 7. And we are also utilizing community service pharmacists and psychology to improve availability of resources. We've also had discussions with the Department of Health. They will allocate community service for nurses from 2008. And in terms of facilities, the new prisons are designed to the structures to complement healthcare delivery and other rehabilitation programs. And in terms of budget, PEPFAR funds are also accessed and given to the department to improve and access to accelerate implementation of programs and services, and the healthcare system is being aligned. And in conclusion, the department is committed in rendering healthcare services to ensure the standard. And it needs to mention that this intervention mentioned about also has financial implications, which can only be managed within the limited budget that the department receives. And finally, a decision needs to be taken on the role of and the responsibilities of the Department of Health with regards to the health care of offenders and citizens of the country, maybe by sharing the already exhausted resources, may alleviate some of the challenges that the department is faced with. Thank you.
Chairperson, in this about
well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Commissioner, Ms. Mabena, and Regional Commissioner Smallberger. Commissioner Smallberger, can you please also submit your document? See, you have briefed us now on improvement. What you are going to do, can you also submit your document to the committee? Because we are going to monitor everything that you have said. But you know, I'm going to open the floor for questions. Mr. Felt has indicated to me that he is summoned by his new boss to an office there. He's going to leave us there within say 5 seconds because he's having a meeting. But let me start by saying, you know, it is very, very, very good that here are people sitting here in front of us, the department, led by the National Commission, and acknowledging the problem that also and elsewhere that prisons are faced with this problem. You know, to get a solution, you must first start by acknowledging there's a problem. And then the solution comes automatically. But the moment when you are trying to defend a thing, you are creating more and more problems. I want to say to the Commission, I'm very much, very much impressed that you are coming here and saying there is a problem. You are acknowledging the problem. But you are also coming with solutions and saying that we are trying to do 1, 2, 3 and we are proposing. That will take us very, very far, Commission. I'm going to open up the floor for questions, and after that, we'll see the other presentation on the outsourcing. How far are we going with this presentation? And then we will decide on the other one. Let me have the invitation, Mr. Self, Mr. Mahote, Mayor Ngwenya, Bishop Dolo, then Cindy.
As you greatly can, I have to leave in about 10 minutes. I hope I'll be around and the questions get answered. But there's just two small matters arising from the presentation, and I concur in congratulating the department on its response to this report. The first is that Mr. Smallberger, when he was talking, there was an aspect of the presentation dealing with the conversations with Falkenberg, which he didn't, I think, cover. If you can just brief us on what is progress in that respect. Secondly, do I understand that we only have in the department four pharmacists that are actually departmental staff? That's 4 out of 40. The rest, the other 22 are community service people. What the implications of that are on a continuing basis. In other words, are we guaranteed that next year there's going to be the same number of community service people that are going to fill the gap? And finally, I'm intrigued and encouraged to hear that the use of volunteers from the community are going to be explored. But my own experience of trying to involve volunteers in Polesmore itself is that the accreditation process is so cumbersome that by the time people are accredited, they've sort of lost interest in giving the services that they were going to give on a voluntary basis anyway. And I wondered whether the department had given thought to speeding up and simplifying the accreditation process to encourage this sort of intervention. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sell. Mr. Mawate?
If it was not for the overtime, she would not have come. So I want to agree with the commissioner on that. Chairperson, secondly, I want to know whose responsibility is it to look after the basic things that have been mentioned by the Kunga and the Delft and so on. Who is supposed to look after the repairing and the provision of new equipment in the hospital within the hospital and the expiry date of drivers and so on? I've heard the commissioner saying that expired drugs have been taken out of the shelf while they are waiting to the shelf. If I had that incorrectly, I want to know what was the purpose, because some of them, we took them ourselves out of the shelf. We left them on the table so that they are parceled and taken where they are supposed to be taken. What was the reason for them to find their way back to the shelf? And what, if there is an explanation, what is the explanation and what action has been taken for that? Because in one of those shelves, I would understand that if there was a mixture of expired and new. In one, some of the shelves said, well, there was only expired medicine. Now, if you take it back, what is the aim? Because if that thing were happening, I think the purpose of this 1.2 on this report confirms my doubts about the motive of these people doing that. About
because we also discovered there that there is a person.
What is that person doing? Exactly. I want to know his duty. When he gets there in the morning until not of time, what is he and the duty? And even the nurses the other day, what are they doing when they come in the morning until not of time? What are their specific that they are not here? What are their specific duties or that they are doing? I appreciate the person because you've been caring about the retention strategies and things. But I think after this report, and when we sit down and make our assessment of all everything else, we will set up a date, which I propose that we also be here before that we share all the steps.
Thank you very much. The other two will come up. Let me first give Nguyen and Bishop Tolo, then will come after they have responded to the two questions. And Mr. Chikunga, your hand was also up, and to keep it over here after they have responded. Can you please have this one?
Thank you, Steve. I want to respond quickly to Mr. Kell's question of Falkenberg. We are in the situation as a committee aware that, you know, we receive an offender of a person from the court of the warrant, and we need to adhere to that warrant. Secondly, the team that we've set up for court work to address compliance there. In our first argument was to say that we in correctional services need to do everything in our power to create the right environment and conducive for whoever is intent to false work or any other correctional center. The second phase, as is very prominent in the report from the Portfolio Commission, will be for us to also link up with our sister departments in terms of the referrals to false work to make sure that, you know, it's also managed and not only being referred to Baltimore and forget about the individual. I can also mention that we do have a psychiatrist who is visiting Baltimore on a monthly basis, but I also noted the comment in the report concerning this specific patient, and as I've said in the presentation, we will really take this report to make sure that we address also the identified area in the report from the committee. Chair, I don't know whether I need to pause there before I go to Mr. Mohote, whether the commissioner or the delegation wants to add on the first part. Thank you.
If I may just respond to some other parts. On the issue, yes, we can confirm that we have four fathers in the employ of BCS and the others are community service pharmacists. In the presentation, we tried to cover the point of saying that we have approved that we go an outsourcing route in order to ensure that we do get the required numbers, because that's a very critical area of work that we have to comply with, because they have to accept that that battle is much bigger than us. So that process is underway, and we hope it will correct that. On the issue of practice on the issue of psychiatric testing. We have been saying the part of providing of primary health care services, we have to acknowledge that there are very specific needs within correctional environments for which we require specialized testing and treatment. And I've asked the Director of Health to really explore also as a practical strategy how we can begin to get these specialists, whether psychiatric nurses, geriatric nurses, or child and youth care testing. And I do hope it will be possible, knowing that there is a test, but we have to accept that there are these people with special needs. We can't whisk them away, we can't show them away, and we need to provide them with test services. So hopefully we will try and introduce some kind of specialization as we implement the ORT. It's not satisfactory, the level of service delivery. The issue of the use of volunteers, yes, we will have to, when we talk about volunteers within DPS, it's a debate that you are engaging with seriously. Perhaps the difficulties that you have articulated relates to trying to recruit these people on an individual basis. You may have to contract with organizations where the work with recruitment, the preparation, the security issues can be done by the time they're ready. They're not frustrated by a further delay. So those protocols hopefully we will develop. We're also thinking of structuring partnership arrangements with the voluntary sector or the not-for-profit sector as we begin to expand on some of our areas of focus. So yes, I've noted that concern and we are worried about it. Clearly, we've also been told by people that we should not be too concerned when we do involve volunteers about a small number of volunteers who become corrupt. We're quite aware of the possible abuses in a security environment. And we need to make sure that we build in mechanisms to avoid people taking advantage of that. But yes, we are giving attention to that issue. Perhaps Ms. Modena may want to pick up on some of the
areas. The issue of the on who's responsible to look at these issues. The next is in terms of their proof of practice, there are something that they are expected to do. Nursing assistant, professional nurse and roadmap. Even the doctors know what they're supposed to do. And you have a nurse at operational level and you have senior nurse, senior supervisors and health manager. And in this case both Mr. Slayer and Mr. Miller nursing health managers who are also supposed to have ensured that they supervise healthcare delivery in a correctional facility. And in terms of why expect magicians found themselves back onto the shelves, I think the reason is reading that investigation. They made a submission report to the committee after their findings. And in terms of the functions of the doctor, the doctors are professional only when they are sessions. They are allocated to this by the Department of Health. They only work 2 hours or 1 hour. And the doctor's function is clinical functions only. They assess, they use diagnosis, they prescribe treatment. And when necessary, they also render medical legal services. Very specified that when the person is being sexually assaulted, they also give those forms, even in trained individuals. And in general, only disease management clinical. And health education on a patient one-to-one basis. And in terms of the nurses, it's a lot of functions, assessment, diagnosis, development of relationship plans, assessment of offenders on activity. It's a lot of functions that they are expected to do in a correctional environment.
Yes, if we wish to avoid any possible confusion, I think we need to draw the attention of the committee to the fact that we do have professional doctors, as well as doctors in the employ of these things. What is reported in the presentation on is the doctors in the employ of these things. And if you look at the numbers, you may be worried that it's a small number. The number of technical doctors providing a service there through contracting arrangements with the Department of Health, I'm sure we can provide a figure that's much larger.
Thank you very much for the response. It will be in Kenya. Solo and then Cindy Chukunga and Mr. Kipido. But you know, this issue of the mentally health, mentally disturbed offender, why are we taking these people into correctional facilities with or without the warrant? Why are we not saying and sending out a message to the authorities to say we don't have the facilities to keep these people? We are there not to keep mentally disturbed people in correctional facilities, but we as correctional services must start doing that so that we are sending out a message to say that we don't have the facilities, prisons but never built, to take care of those people. Ms. Nguyen?
Thank you, thank you for that presentation. Mrs. Mabena, first I'll say on your presentation. The presentation is silent on witness caused by tendering. for comment and outsourcing.
That is the outsourcing. That is the next presentation. That is not part and parcel of us at this briefing. We are dealing with health now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Dr. On the health issues, in your introduction, you mentioned that open health market access to quality health savings is the right. Therefore, my question will be, what mechanism in place to ensure that access to health in the life in a sustainable manner? Also, you highlight the problem. Therefore, my question will be, what makes a shortage of human resource for health in the context of South African prison? There is a view that a retirement of the skilled professional such as given to the staff privatization and outsourcing can suggest a policy problem. My question will be, is it not time to review policy based on privatization and outsourcing? I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ngwenya. Bishop Tolo?
My question is that, we are talking always, I think, for most of the transportation years, we are talking always about shortage of I don't understand why we must try to get the solution about this problem. Because if you look, I remember we went to one of the Kroon side, we saw young men and women. You say those people, the only ones who apply the course of meds, because always are talking about the course of meds. And it's my first question. Do you remember? I mean, last I was looking in the meds because you must apply. Because most about 20 of them in the Bobo production. So no one is on that. Now, I don't understand those always are talking about the course of meds. And my question is relating to the doctors in the consultant, Well, as a concerned man, I was asking this question, I think it's 3 to 4 years ago with the department, the commissioner just had commitment to lose it. And I thought it was a very, very intelligent clever doctor. I don't want to say that he's a healer, the African doctor, and those people are very cheap. And let me tell you something, we've got millions and millions of goals. Those people to heal them, to take help. And according to me, in prison, 80 to 90% of people in prison, they are believing to African doctors. And I remember the Minister of Health, she was here one day, the African doctor is very, very important. He must also use it. And all of you remember when delegation from South Africa went to Italy. And traditional doctors, they were sent to candidate and minister and delegation. They would say, we are going to win. Because those people are very clever, but we take that if the government, I believe them. I say, why the department not talk to the Minister of Health, talk to him, and to go to the people. And give others, they say, we want more money than one America, they want from other countries, but those are not, if you can come there and do you this. You know about it. And I think, Jefferson, we mustn't just always talk shortage. Let's think and let's mind. The next year we are going to talk about shortage. But we must solve that problem. We've got the people who understand about shortage. We can't do it. A lot of people with Jefferson, what kept injury in my age? 5 years old.
Thank you very much, Bishop. I agree with Bishop, but you must be careful not to take the market style people for people to be. Please, when you agree with Bishop, please.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thank you to the department for a very honest presentation. Jefferson, when Mr. Mawata said, what are the messages that we should do? The question sounded very cumbersome. But if you have been to a health institution and you ask for the fight, please just show me where you record your medication after giving the medication, and if you can't get the medication, what is the certification? If after rendering any service they don't record, because in them, what is not recorded is not done. You can't give a medication and then record, because the next person will come and give the same medication, and that's the amount of overdosing and it should be tried. So I think it was a very relevant context issue question that you will ask that the person is probably interested in this. But another question, Chairperson, emanating from what a bacteriologist said with regard to professional medicine, probably I've asked this question before. We have these finance posts, and year in and year out, are vacant. Is it possible that the Department of Correctional Services could consider taking people on a contract basis, later to sign contract, and probably train them so that when they complete their contract in self correctional services? Because in the past I know for a fact that it was happening. I know for a fact it was happening. A trainee from the Department of Correctional Services, and when they complete, they go to correctional services. Is it not possible that that can be considered and they sign a contract that for this year we will be serving the correctional services because they are trained on these finance services? The second question, Chapter 4, on the presentation, the lady is. And the whatever, let me say, it's talking about professional medicine. I really want to get clarity as to when they say professional medicine, are they talking about what is called system and not other categories? Because if that is the case, let us agree here and now today that we will never have enough medicine in the Department of Correctional Services. Because the country does not have enough professionals. Even if you can fetch all of them that are outside South Africa, they will still not be enough for the country, for the Department of Health, Correctional Services, Defense, and other departments, private sector, and such. They will never be enough. And that is why, according to law in South Africa, Nursing Act, you have three categories of nursing. And if you go to this hospital, this tertiary hospital across here, in the intensive care unit, and in theater where heart transplants are being done, you will have these three categories of nurses. For me, it will never make sense as to why a department such as correctional services will only employ
or they could produce an MCC, but they will never get them. They're not safe. But we have quite a number of other categories. One professional nurses working with three staff nurses and five professional nurses will provide a much better effective healthcare service than three of them expected to do every day. That's my understanding and failure to understand, unless they say to me they are saying professional nurses actually meaning nurses, not a category of professional nurses as identified by the nursing home. The last one, the person will be to say the presentation is I don't get a shield of whatever measures that have been put in place, particularly in Portsmouth, not being ad hoc measures, but measures that will continue to exist. You know, to say we have removed, but what happened about those drugs that will expire in December? I don't get an explanation to think that there's been maybe a way of saying to the pharmacist, you have to come up with a policy that explains exactly as to how are we supposed to tell you drugs that are about to expire in the correctional services, so that we have something that we can all refer to, and actually something that we can say we are reinforcing, but we are also ensuring compliance, because it is something that we can continue. We are not getting that understanding. And lastly, Chairperson, I just want to say the situation in health services and correctional institutions may be existing within other institutions. I know for instance that Babatunde made one. We did something that is associated with what we're seeing for. And we request that probably the department does not only concentration of policy, but not particularly in correctional services, to check that this is taken in position.
Thanks, Cindy. Mr. Cicido and Mr. Fred.
Thank you, Chairperson. You actually come to the one question that the one issue that I want to raise, and I think the ability to treat people that are mentally ill. Maybe we've got the stronghold there to keep them there, but we don't have the necessary support base and so on. But that's not the reason why people are going to correctional services. Chairperson, the other point that I'd like to touch on, it comes forth from the report of the members who the task team went to investigate, and that is a problem of a change of mind of leadership. It appears as if there's a very serious charge against the leadership of correctional services. Now, I know that when you're in business and you have not adapted to the changing circumstances in the economy and everything that's around you, you are going to lack and you're going to fall behind. You're not going to make your profit. It is about what you want something out, therefore you put something in. If we continue leading wrong, leading incorrectly, we're going to take those other people behind us, following us, we're leading them all incorrectly. And by the time that our present leaders go into retirement, it's not real new leadership that follows or that takes the leadership. It's people that you have influenced to such an extent that they're not correcting. They don't think differently. And I think what I would like to know from the commissioner maybe is what kind of leadership program, what kind of mind changing program are taking place in order to change the attitude of our senior personnel so that we don't have a charge like this coming forth from your juniors, because it's an indication that the leadership, there is something wrong. And you are influencing those who are following you to such an extent that they will not be acting differently in the future. If maybe the commissioner can just enlighten us on leadership change, training especially. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Peter. Those are the questions.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start by thanking the national office and also the regional offices for taking this measure very seriously. I heard in the program. Present recommendation from Mr. Mal Gaga that the National Office did speed code to Portsmouth after our visit as a subsolar committee. The question that I'm going to pose is similar to Cindy's one, but in this fashion. Does the department go on tender system to other classes for medicines? And how long does those medicines and drugs come to the tender? Because if you look at the crisis that you're facing, that can be another problem.
Thank you very much, Mr. You know, Bishop Tolo raised two issues here. And I personally, Bishop Tolo gave me the CV of about 20 nurses. I gave the CV to Commissioner Chibaze.
Yeah.
And it's nurses that Bishop Tolo has recruited CVs. Because I said to the members that they must help in recruiting. Up until today, we don't know what happened to those people. And it's professional nurses. They are registered and everything. You know the issue of traditional healers that Bishop Tolo is talking about? Bishop Tolo is talking about traditional healers. We must look into that aspect. Because they are registered now and recognized by the Department of Health. I'm saying let us look into that aspect that Bishop Tolo is saying.
Thank you, Chair. Quite a number of technical questions, and I'm sure the team will pick up if I can just grab in some of the responses from the second round. The first point on mental patients, technically. I think it's true. It's not a place for mental patients. And we have, since 1994, been very specific to try and deinstitutionalize our treatment towards mental ill patients. And we see the impact of that in functions. I'm not saying it was a bad thing. Institutionalization itself can never be justified, but it appears that the supervision outside with the community-based treatment of mental ill patients may be a bit problematic. In that way, they may end up in our facility, referred by the court, or arrested by the police. I think the first step that we should be able to take as DCS is to make sure that we have the people who can assess appropriately. That yes, we have a mentally ill patient, and for us to take appropriate action once that assessment is being made. At the moment, I think just on the face of it, it may be difficult, and we may be seen to be undermining the court and stuff if you do not have the correct measures to deal with it. And we have to become more like activists when it comes to the rights of mentally ill patients. So certainly it's an area that we need to address more rigorously. I'll also pick up on some, I've noted the citizens' comments on the issue of traditional healers and indigenous practices and how we begin to look at that, especially since we have endorsed also restorative justice models that lend itself some of these approaches, and clearly it's an area to watch and to explore further to see how we can concretely give effect to our restorative justice program and how to involve indigenous practices. The two members of the question around the sustaining the ethics and forcing, I think it's Ms. Chikunga and Ms. Ngwenya cautioning us to make sure that we sustain those interventions. I would like to add to that, yes, it is important. We have heard Mr. Smallberger saying that we want to recruit and find different ways of getting the numbers in, but on the whole, I've already indicated the outsourcing models, interventions that we hope will pay off. But more importantly, the idea of centering supervisory and junior management personnel. If we can strengthen that, we can perhaps sustain the compliance. Because even if you have smaller numbers, you are saying we need to make sure that those people deliver at this particular level. So around the compliance issues, the supervision issues, we would want to give further attention to that matter. Mr. Chikunga, yes, in fact, you're right. No matter what we do, this is what I've said in the presentation, our response so far has been to create more posts for nurses. And that hasn't helped us. We now only have more posts, that's not source, but they are finance. And secondly, from what you're saying, you have picked up the issue of virtues. And I think the one supports the other. If you have nursing assistants, those people should be able to access virtues and go to college and come back trained, and thereby increasing the numbers. So there's no way that we cannot continue without nursing assistants, enrolled nurses, and others to really improve their health services. So it's a matter, as we've reported, that we are pursuing. We've also given approval for the director of health and health component to look at talking to agencies to get some of these nursing professionals or auxiliary workers or to come into our system, and we hope that will be approved. I'm leaving some of the other technical responses to the team. On the issues, Ms. Chikunga, of policy, what we're saying is that in most cases, those policies are in place. Are people aware of it? Have they been trained in terms of checking the control and compliance? We think that's where the problem is at the moment. We need to be able to provide this training, make sure people understand the policies and the procedures, have our checking mechanisms to see that they comply, and if not, to make sure that there are consequences. And this is what I said and what the Minister said we must put greater emphasis on this year. It's very problematic because it's not only in BCS that you find that there are certain service delivery problems, and you wonder where are the managers in this regard. And you will remember that the Minister of the DPSA specifically said that we need to, when it comes to budgetary certainly, look at the way of entrenching and institutionalizing that. And one mechanism that the Minister of Public Service introduced is the whole idea of managers doing cold-faced service delivery to be there where it matters through the Project Kahidu. Now, we've just started to roll out Project Kahidu, where we are training all senior managers in how they analyze some of these service delivery challenges and how they come up with solutions and in fact, how they translate that into implementable models. I'm quite optimistic. What I've seen coming out of the Kahidu training is really encouraging. In addition, we are investing in leadership development. We will this year currently, the tender documents are being prepared for us to introduce an executive leadership development program and a senior management development program in partnership with one or more academic institutions. So that's one area that we are investing in. It's taken a bit long, but I think we've been moving on that. And we have piloted last year the training of junior and middle managers, and we've, on the basis of that pilot, decided to expand that to ensure that all our junior and middle managers are put through management training. So yes, an area that we've neglected up to now, but we hope to give more emphasis to that. Yes, also the concerns around some of the other medical services and other correctional centers that we have a problem with, and not only possible, we've reflected on that. We need to find ways of acknowledging where the problem is greatest, and I'm saying in some areas where we've been unable to attract medical staff, we may just have to use other satellite areas and move people where the service is. One model we are looking at here is to say if we are unable to attract medical doctors and psychologists and nurses at the number that we require, why do we insist that there must be a small percentage? Why don't we change that model? So the proposal that we have and that we're seriously engaging with is to establish what we call centers of expertise. If you take a region such as Gauteng, the one anomaly we have is that at Victoria Management Area, you, for example, have six psychologists, but you have one at Johannesburg. the need is greater in Johannesburg. Why don't we centralize those resources in Gauteng and allow them to work where the need is? So we're hoping that with many of these areas of care skills, we can begin to use the center of expertise model and provide a service, a basic service. But let me allow the rest of the team just to enter the discussion. Again, do you want to pick up some of the technical issues?
The issue of professional nurses. We are coming to train professional nurses, and it's up to the team representation. The department has finalized the code of remuneration for enrolled nurses and staff nurses and nursing assistants. It has been finalized, it will be submitted to corporate services for approval, and we start to recruit. And in terms of batteries, we do allocate batteries. From experience, we allocate batteries to nurses and pharmacists. On completion of training, when they come back, they take back their batteries they resign. They take back the years that, like, pharmacists will take off the 4 years. Others will only do intensive community service and pay off their battery obligations. So we try this. They find another way of using the system, we find another way of leaving the system. And in terms of the issue of drugs, as Mr. Snodderis indicated, I visited Baltimore on Thursday, and the issue of expired drugs are taken up with the doctor. The issue of EDC's name, the doctor says he hasn't been trained on the management of, on the new regimen for many DCD. But then I'm taking it up with the Department of Health because they have to train her on how to manage medications and which drugs to prescribe and how much and not for 6 months and how to eat. And the other one of drug procurement, I'm asking them to which will respond to this.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the procurement of drugs, that is centralized. The reason why it is centralized is because we use the transfer subcontract where the Department of Correctional Services has to procure from the contract, Department of Health, SHS, Defense, because it becomes cheaper if it is done that way. So those companies that have won the tender, they are available for each center to offer the place and order. And usually it is logistics that they can order based on the needs that have been submitted by the
government. Just to clarify one matter that I think that Robena patiently responded to. I want to announce that with effect from the 1st of July, government will introduce a new determination for nurses as a response to retain nursing staff within the public service. We do know that the work to get that new determination in place may take a bit longer, but we're quite excited that at least there is an initiative to try and retain the few nurses that we do have. Similarly to the determination for social workers, the attempt is to begin to acknowledge nurses for being good nurses and for them not to necessarily become managers in order to earn a higher level of income. So we're quite excited about that development. As I've indicated, it will not solve our problems because it will be across the public service. We still have to come up with innovations within these areas, and we are looking at those. Secondly, we have also said that within DCS, unfortunately, nurses, the entry level for nursing staff is at level 6 at the moment. We're aware that some provinces, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal and others, they have raised the level of remuneration for entry level staff. We've been cautioned by, again, the Department of Health not to go towards those kinds of solutions. But there are provisions, existing provisions in law and rights and possibilities that the Minister and I can introduce, and she's referred to the introduction of the Code of Remuneration for Nurses within DCS. We've completed that work and we hope to implement that also soon. And in terms of that, the level, the entry level of nurses will be lifted within DCS as well. So there are some practical measures we hope will soon also be due to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond on the last comment by the honorable member Chilunga, in terms of the expired medicine. As I was saying in the presentation, it was brief, but I can confirm that there is an action plan formulated to monitor the lifespan of the water of medication in all the centers, and it's also been part of action set in the monitoring evaluation plan of the person who is overseeing that. And on the lighter thing, I can just say, on the lighter side, say to the bishop that we will appoint those 20 if we can receive the certification for this ticket. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Bishop. You must go and look for them now from that. That bring it to the commission again. Any other questions from the members? No. You know, we are supposed to have another briefing, but I think that you will agree with me that we are going to shelve that one for a later date, so that we must also do justice on that one of outsourcing, because we can't run through such an important document of outsourcing. The commissioner indicated to me that there is a lot of functions that is been outsourced, and it needs time for us to discuss it. So it won't help us discuss this issue now. But commissioner, you know, you have raised very important issues with your team in connection with this thing. But you know, I'm asking myself a question. Why is it that this committee, three members of the committee, must go to this policy president and go and find out this thing? You know, we are, and in the report it's there. We are busy dealing with the lives of human beings. Now, the delegation is saying in the report that, and India also said, that some of the drugs have expired already in 2004. Now, you see, it's very serious that drugs expired 2004, but we are having managers, we are having professional people working in that institution. It really raises questions of why, if this committee or the inspecting judge have not investigated this issue, this thing could have gone on and on. Now the second question, and I think Cindy have touched on that one. What's happening in all the other centers? You see, and we must not generalize. We must not. We must avoid generalizing. Why? You see, if something like this is happening to one very big institution, and I think that the members here in Baltimore know very well that we as a portfolio committee are sitting in Cape Town. We can visit this prison at any time. But, you know, not coming to that and sitting with drugs that have expired 2004. Now you are sitting with a prison in Westville with 12,000 inmates there. I'm asking, that situation not also been playing out there in Heaven Mercy and all over the country? I'm saying that we must avoid generalizing, but you see, this type of questions are coming up when we are seeing these things have been raised by a delegation of this committee. But Commissioner, I must comment on this one. You know, I said that to get to a submission is to acknowledge, and I am very much encouraged by the presentation today that yes, there's problems at personal and elsewhere, but we are going to address it. That is what he said. Now, Commissioner, I think that we must follow up at this portfolio point. The implementation of this process. Now, you see, we can't leave this issue open. It's an open thing. India spoke about an ad hoc thing. Now, I think it's our duty and our responsibility as this portfolio committee to also to put time frame in each and everything that we are doing and to the Department of Correctional Committee. And I will really think that we are putting before the Department of Correctional Services 90 days where the department must report back to this committee on the process and the implementation of this, what you have presented to us today. But also, that this portfolio committee, a delegation again, of the entire committee, must embark on an unannounced visit again within this 90 days, within this 90 days, so that we must go and check if these things are being implemented. We will go there and check before the 90 days expire. It's our duty as the portfolio committee to do oversight over these things, so that we must assist, and I'm stressing the word assist, the Department of Correctional Services, to correct things that is not, you know, Commissioner responded and he was saying, policies are there, it's not new things. But some of our managers don't want to implement this policy. Now, Commission, the answer to that thing is, especially here in Portugal, disciplinary action must be taken against those managers who have really. Mr. Mawate asked this question. How is it that this drug found their way back to the shelf? I am saying we must send out a very strong message to managers who don't want to implement and to comply with things. Otherwise, we are going to talk and talk and talk, like Bishop Dolo has said, we are always talking. We must send out now a strong, very strong message to them that this is what is going to happen to you because you have not implemented the policy of the Department of Correctional Services. But, Commissioner, and the team, thank you very much for the openness, frankness, transparency, not to hide anything. And I wish you
everything of the head. You can be assured. I said it in our budget vote that you are having our support. You are having our support in the entire department. Knock on our door and we will always be there. This is only to assist and not to fight the department, because you can't be all over in the country. This is to help. And at any time, and all the commissioners, the regional commission, please, here's the members of this department, of the portfolio committee. Call them. Say, Mr. Fika, I want you to help and assist in this. It will make things very, very easy for the department, for us to come out. I'm very much happy with the way in which you have responded to this thing. Members, all of you also, thank you very much in the way that you have interacted with this, not with emotion, but with cool heads. I must tell you that this department, we are part and parcel of this very big enemy. And I hope that we are going to move in this way forward until our time is expired in 2009. If they are not necessarily playing, you know we are in the story. Maybe they take me to water ourselves on Forest Street because there's no water. I'm not sure that. But thank you very much, members, and I think that the meeting is adjourned. But can the members of the committee sit for 5 minutes? Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Everything of the best. Thanks for everyone.
I should go to this, take a 3 o'clock, and it's like it's